welcome into the Who's On podcast, part of the Saber Podcast Network. As always, you can find everything you need on the Wahoos over at thesaber.com, including analysis, feature stories, and the message board. And lately, you can find our article on UVA fall baseball, because that leads us into today. Our guests today are some of the newest members of the UVA coaching staff, Joe Savino and Travis Reifschneider. Of course, those names are pretty familiar to everyone. Joe Savino, former pitcher at UVA just last year, and Travis Reifschneider, a former player at UVA just 2 years ago, both of them on College World Series teams. Joe starting off as the pitching coordinator, and Travis is the director of player development and scouting. Those are long lists. Those are long titles, but guys, thanks for coming on, and welcome back to UVA. How's it feel?
Of course. Thanks for having us. I think me and Travis, just talking in the summer, before we actually officially started, man, we were just really pumped to be back and to have this opportunity. So,
yeah, absolutely. I can definitely echo that. Pumped to be back and love this place.
So just, they're big words, in these titles and everything, but just kind of what you guys are specifically working on. Travis, as the director of player development and scouting.
So I do a little bit, of different things on a daily basis. As far as practice goes of like daily actual, quote unquote player development stuff. I do a handful of different things. I'll, help with the outfielders. Sometimes I'll help with the infielders, help with the catchers, kind of potentially look at the base running stuff and what's going on there. Practice setup stuff, which I guess is not the sexiest thing in the world, but it's one of my important roles, which I actually enjoy doing. And then the scouting part is the pro scouts that come to check out our guys, whether it be now in the fall or in the spring. I send out schedules and communicate with those guys about what's going on with our team, which I've had a blast doing so far as well. It's definitely interesting seeing that side of baseball as well.
And Joe, for you, as the pitching coordinator, I know you just announced officially that you're on the staff. What does that kind of role have you doing?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, I work under Drew Dickinson, the pitching coach, but mainly strictly with pitchers. So during bullpens, I'll have the portable TrackMan up. We'll do some video, and then, like I said, I mean, it's really just pitchers. It's not a ton we could do. We do a lot of PFPs, pick work, and bunt defense, and then when I'm not with the pitchers, I'll help out with the position players, if it's with the machines or in fungos or basically anything anybody else needs, but it kind of tends to the pitchers prioritize first. So
now between you guys, we have first, Joe, you're the second Elon guest we've had on this podcast, and I always got to shout that out, repping the alma mater there. Yeah. But we got two former CAA players, and I did the research. I looked it up. You two never went head to head while you were at Elon and JMU. You never faced each other. There was a game that you pitched against JMU, but Travis was not in the lineup that game.
Yeah, it's probably a better thing. He probably would have got a hit off me or something. It wasn't a great day for me that day.
I think I had a little shoulder bump and bruise that day. So I was out for that weekend. I would have loved to have, he probably would have gotten me a little bit. Maybe I would have gotten something off him. But like you said, it wasn't the best day for him. He's good, he would have gotten me for sure.
Yeah, a little off. I won't read the stats back to you. Travis, I think you played one game against them later in the series. I think you were like a pinch hitter, but that was about, you went one for one, so you did the job.
Nice. Love that.
I was surprised. I mean, just kind of CAA competition. Y'all didn't actually play each other that much over the course of y'all's kind of careers there.
Yeah.
I think we had COVID was 2020, and then 2021, we were supposed to go down there, if I remember correctly, and we had a bunch of COVID cases. And then I think that the athletic departments were clashing, and they didn't want to come to us because we didn't go to them. I don't know the whole story. That's what the rumor mill had spit out.
Yeah.
But I think it was something along those lines. And then we played in 22, which was my senior year, and I wasn't playing.
So obviously y'all didn't play with each other at UVA, but how well did y'all know each other before y'all both came on staff?
I'd say I'd say Travis, you came down a decent, probably like two times, three times, right? I think, I met him in the fall, and then after last year, I kind of hung around. I was coming back, just doing some traveling and stopping in town, and Travis was working the camp, so we got to talk for like I think a half an hour one day, and then I heard that he got the job, and he shot me a text, and I was just so pumped because, I've only heard great things, and when I was talking to him, he's just a great dude. So.
Well, let's get into kind of just how y'all both ended up back there. And since Travis, you're a little further removed, I guess we'll start with you. You spent last year at Monmouth, but kind of what was the opportunity and kind of what was it like, kind of hearing that you were coming back to UVA and that you got this position?
I think so. Last year, I had a blast at Monmouth, learned a ton. And then I think kind of moving forward, looking long term of like, okay, what do I want to do with coaching? I want it to be my lifelong profession if everything goes well. So Coach O'Connor obviously is a phenomenal resource, to talk about coaching college baseball. I mean, he's one of the best to ever do it. So, I was on the phone with him a bunch this past summer talking about like, hey, what do you think of this opportunity, kind of the whole nine yards. And then I actually ended up taking a job in Utah and coaching college baseball. And then the head coach took another job. So then I was kind of back to square one of like, okay, well, where am I going now? Luckily, I was able to use Coach Oak as the resource, like I said, throughout that whole process. And then he was saying, hey, John Hendry left. We have this position open. We think you could excel in this role and think it would set you up for future opportunities potentially. So, offered it to me and then I jumped on it as soon as he offered it to me. I mean, this place is hard to beat. And I was so excited and, honored that he would think of me as someone that could, help the staff out.
And for Joe, I guess obviously a much quicker transition into this kind of role, but kind of what was your story?
Yeah, so after Omaha we have exit meetings and sitting down with Coach Oak and Drew. I basically just told them, I don't really know what's next for me. Baseball's always kind of been plan A, and there's really no plan B behind it. But I told them that coaching might be an opportunity for me, like something I might want to pursue just because of being around this coaching staff. It's made me realize how special things they could do, and I kind of wanted to be a part of that. So I told them, hey, listen, I think this might be something that I want to get into. And with John Hendry leaving, it was he said that it was nothing that he could promise that would happen, but he would keep me updated. And then I was, I was looking to potentially have a free agent sign after the season. So we were kind of waiting for that. And, I got a call from Coach Oak. I think it was like the weekend after, the season ended, and called me into the office and said, hey, I think we're going to have the spot for you. And, if you would like it, take some time to think about it. And, I took about probably till the end of July to really think about it. And then, talking about my parents and other people, it was just an opportunity that I couldn't pass up. Being around this program for, grateful to be around this program for another year. Like I said, I couldn't pass it up. So,
So basically, we have John Hendry to thank for all of this with both of you guys coming back. Obviously, John now at University of South Carolina, but it's wild to think both of you, the last time you stepped on the field as players was in Omaha, and just kind of that experience. How much does that kind of, I guess, just give you kind of a new view on college baseball and maybe even wanting to get into coaching?
I mean, it's a really special experience. I've told this to a bunch of people that I've talked to who have asked about Omaha. Like, as a baseball person, regardless of if you're on a team on the field or if you're just someone who enjoys baseball, like, it's an incredible experience. Like, the whole thing, the setup outside the stadium, the fans, everything was, I mean, mind blowing to me, where it was like, we talked about Omaha all year. And then to get there, it was truly a surreal experience. And then it just shaped my thoughts of like, okay, it confirmed everything that I thought I wanted to do. Like, I want to at some point lead teams that I'm the head coach of to this experience and have, the next generation of baseball players experience the same thing I got to experience and have them have the memories that I had. So that's kind of, I guess, the way that I thought about it.
Yeah, Joe, what did you think of your first experience last year?
Yeah, so I mean, like being at Elon like for 4 years, last year was my first time being in a regional, let alone a super regional, and to Omaha. I've never been to Omaha previously, not even to watch games. I've always just watched it on TV. So being around this program and being able to get to Omaha, it was kind of like a lifelong dream that came true. And with being in coaching, that's something that, like Travis said, it's something that I would eventually want to have my players and my team, reaching that goal, because it was just a surreal experience.
Now, getting into just y'all are taking a big step going from players to coaching, and it's because y'all were so recent. A lot of the guys that are still on this team. Oak made this point earlier, saying that Jacob Ferentz is actually older than you, Joe. So how do you coach someone that's actually your senior?
Yeah, I mean, Jacob was my roommate last year. And like I said, a lot of these guys are my friends. But Coach Oak, I think he explained to me that he was in kind of a similar situation, except he was a pitching coach right after college. So he was really the pitching coach with all the players that he just played with, which is kind of similar to what I'm doing and kind of dealing with. But there is that fine line of like, hey, I was, your friend, your teammate, and you guys are my lifelong, brothers. But now I'm your coach, and my job is to get you better every single day so we could reach that goal of going to Omaha, and what makes us better. So it's definitely been, a little bit of a different experience, being able to coach these guys. But I think they had a decent amount of respect for what I have to say, and they truly listened to it. And I could just see that, when I'm talking to them about, certain stuff. But yeah, like you said, it's a different experience, and I've enjoyed it, a lot so far.
Do you give Ferentz any ribbing just because how old he is in that locker room?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if he's the oldest. I think we have a couple of 6 years that are around his age. I want to say Wesley Arrington's up there in age. I think he might be older than Jacob, but yeah, sometimes I do for if he's passing by, I say he's so old, man.
Travis, you've kind of had a year to kind of dip into the coaching world. What is it like that kind of making that transition? Where do you feel you are now going from player to coach?
I think it's definitely kind of like what Joe is talking about, where there's kind of a little bit of a tightrope at times to walk with. I mean, similar to his Ferentz being his roommate, Dean Campshore was my roommate when I was here, or one of my roommates when I was here. So, obviously pretty close, spent a ton of time together. Guys like Hanson, Godbout, Didwick was obviously playing with them as well. But, I mean, those guys are very responsive to me talking to them about like, hey, maybe I saw this, or the same way they would with potentially like Coach Mack or Coach Kirby or Coach O'Connor. And I think that's more a testament to the culture that's been built here by the staff. I mean, long before either Joe or I was relevant to this program. And just the way that the guys respond and know that, we're here to help them, and we would never try and do anything to hinder their ability to play on the field or execute for our team. So the guys have been very awesome and have helped me grow already as a coach and as a person at being here for, I mean, 2 months. So it's been a blast so far for sure.
All right, well, we're going to get into fall ball and the roster coming up, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back here on the Who's On podcast. Welcome back into the Who's On podcast. Of course, my guest today, two of the newest members of the UVA baseball coaching staff, got Joe Savino, Travis Reifschneider, both making their returns to the dish. All right, fall ball is underway. What are these, you know, first couple of weeks of fall ball, you know, about to get into some scrimmages, start coming up, the Orange and Blue World Series, got 11 of those games. That is a lot when I saw the schedule come out. Travis, we'll start with you. Just kind of what are these early days of fall ball all about?
I mean, I think it can kind of hold different shapes for different guys individually, where guys are, you know, the first years or the transfers are trying to figure everything out, get their footing a little bit with how we run practice and how we do everything on a daily basis, because there's some quick pace to it and there's a lot going on at times. So they're trying to get their feet wet. I think they've done a great job so far of just jumping both feet into kind of the deep end and figuring things out as they go. And then the returners kind of understand how practice is going to run. They've obviously had at least a year in our program, and I think they've done a great job of helping those rookies along. And I mean, it's been a really good group to be around so far. A lot of positive energy, a lot of energy in general, and they seem like they're having a blast and learning as they go. So it's been a blast to watch for sure.
Yeah, Joe, I guess what is the dynamic like? Because, I mean, you saw it last year. You went through fall ball and everything with this team. And just now you've got, you know, some big names that have gone, you know, a Griff O'Farrell, Casey Sauke, Ethan Anderson, even just kind of these guys have kind of moved on. What is it like kind of seeing the new dynamics take place in this team?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, you'll see each and every year, like, you know, this coaching staff brings guys in with, you know, extreme amount of talent, not only just talent. I mean, they're just great dudes on and off the field. Like Travis saying, like, it's, you know, the first month, it's a little bit to kind of get used to. It can be a lot of time at times, you know, especially for me relating to the new guys, because I was a new guy last year. I wasn't a guy that was in the program for 4 years. So being able to relate to those new guys and kind of help them and answer any questions they have. But, you know, we have a decent amount of returning guys who know what they're doing. They've been here for a year. So they've done a great job of showing these new guys the ropes and yeah.
We mentioned Ferentz earlier, and then obviously Harrison Didwick and Jay Wolfolk both coming back. You know, they could have gotten in the draft. They could be, you know, pursuing pro opportunities, but they're back for another season. What was that news like, just kind of seeing those faces come back into the program this fall, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, playing with those guys last year, the things that they did, it was just truly special. So to have those guys back is just, would, you know, it's just amazing. And we're lucky to have those guys back, not even just for what they did on the field, but what they do off the field, what they, you know, what they do and how they lead these guys. You know, they came back this year and I just feel like, you know, they're just a little bit more locked in, you know, and they're paying attention to detail and doing all the little things and showing these guys how to do it. Because they know what it takes to get to Omaha. I think Jay's been to Omaha twice now that he's been here, maybe three times. And, you know, they know what it takes to get to Omaha and what it takes to be a winning team. So to have those guys back and along with the other guys that have been here, you know, like I said, we're truly lucky to have those guys. So,
Travis, the last time you played with Harrison Didwick, the guy had four home runs in the whole season, was a little scrawny, lanky out there. Did you expect him to kind of blow up the way that he did last season?
So this is actually a funny conversation that I had with Luke Hansen and Griff O'Farrell. I think it was maybe the back end of our season in 23. And I said, if Harrison puts on 15 pounds, he's going to hit at least 20 home runs. And this is like the craziest shot I've ever called, I think. And I mean, it's a testament to how much work he put in. It wasn't like an overnight thing of all of a sudden he's some superstar. Like, he grinds his butt off day in and day out. Like, he is probably the hardest practice player I've ever seen. Like, he is flying around. He knows what's going on. He's helping other people. He's doing everything to the best of his ability. And then he put on that 15 pounds and I mean literally is a historical player in our program now, like has tied for the single season home run record and has looked awesome so far this fall. So I mean it's a testament to the hard work he put in, but yes, I did see the ability in him. And it's awesome to kind of see that he has seen that ability in him a little bit more as well.
It's wild to think that he tied Jake's home run record just a year later, and it took decades for just Jake to come through and break that record that it was before. Going back to Jay, obviously it was kind of an up and down season for him last year, Joe. What have you seen from him? Because talking to him at the beginning of fall practice, you know, it was like he feels now that he's found that confidence, it feels like he just can carry it over into the season. Have you kind of seen that this fall?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said before, like these guys came back and they're just a little bit more locked in. I would say, especially with Jay, I've got to see it with Jay just because I work with him the most out of those guys. You know, and you know, the draft and what he got just wasn't what he wanted. So he was fortunate enough to come back. And I think that's just a little chip on his shoulder, you know, to prove those guys wrong. And, you know, he's shown the ability to be one of the top arms in the country. The way he pitched at the last 4 weeks of the season last year is how we expected him to pitch and how he expected him to pitch. He has high standards of himself and he knows what he could do. So being that he found that at the end of the year last year, you know, he could carry that over into the fall, and his bullpens have looked amazing. I mean, his fastball command is truly taking a jump, and you know, we've tightened up a little bit more of those other pitches, and you know, even just during our live at bats and scrimmages, he's looked great. So yeah, I'd say he, like I said, he's a little bit more locked in, paying attention to that little detail, and you know, all the hard work that he puts in. He's a tremendous worker.
Travis, I'll admit, I didn't do the research on this one. Did y'all face each other in high school at all when you were at Collegiate and he was at Benedictine?
Jay and I?
Yeah.
We did. So he was a freshman when I was a senior. I had one at bat off him, and I lined out to the third baseman, and we got doubled off at second base. So he was, I mean, he was a legit talent when he was, I think it was 14 when you're a freshman. I mean, he's been really good since he forever, basically.
Yeah. It's just kind of, you know, coming up. I mean, he's always kind of had that talent. Looking at obviously this roster, there's so many guys coming back. It's only been a couple of weeks, but who are some guys that have stood out to both of you? And we can start with Travis if you want to look at more position players, and then Joe, if you want to look at some pitchers.
I mean, we've already talked about him a little bit, but Jacob Ferentz, I think, has looked really good. He, and similar to what Joe was again talking about earlier of like on the field stuff, the playing is the playing. I mean, you've seen Ferentz play this last spring. Like, it's phenomenal. It's really sharp behind the plate. It's awesome at bats at the dish, but, his voice in the locker room, I think, is really respected. And he is also the bridge between position players and pitchers, being a catcher, along with our other guys that catch. But he's been a really steady voice amongst the guys and making sure other guys that are new are understanding what's going on. So he's been awesome so far. I think, you know, Becker, Hansen, Godbout, Ford, Didowick have all looked really sharp so far. And then some of the new guys have been, you know, it's tough to come into a program as a first year and succeed and, you know, find your way into the lineup. But these guys some of them have seemingly not missed a step from, you know, being the man of their high school to moving into what's going on here, both on the mound and as position players. Like, they have looked really, really sharp. So that's been awesome to see as well.
And for Joe, for you, just some guys in the pitching staff. I know some guys had some really good summers that, you know, Brian O'Connor mentioned, you know, Kevin Jaxel is a guy that had a really good summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bryson Moore too. Who has kind of stood out to you?
Yeah. I mean, like just first off the bat, like Evan Blanco will be Evan Blanco. You know, he looks like he hasn't missed a step, and he looks like he's taken two steps forward in everything that he does. And, Going back to Jay, I said, he looks a little bit more locked in coming in this year, and like that chip on his shoulder. Kevin Jaxel and Bryson Moore both had great summers up in the Northwoods. I was watching a little bit of their video just on Twitter, the other day, and they've just, it's looks like the innings up in the Northwoods have really paid off. And I think they learned how to really pitch up there. And you could just see that coming back into their bullpens. I mean, they're using two and three pitches for strikes pretty much at all times. And their stuff just has a little bit more, I don't want to say life to it, but it what we expect their stuff to look like, it looks like that and some more. We have a bunch of new guys coming in, as Coach Oak has probably said, and Coach Drew. Two freshmen that just, off the top of my head is William Kirk and Tomas Valenkis. Two lefties that have really special arms. I can kind of attest to this coming from a CAA jumping up to the ACC, where it can be a big jump, but we think that, their stuff plays and they're mature in what they do, to handle that big jump and just do what they do. We have graduate guys like Wesley Arrington, Alex Marcus, and Matt Lanzendorfer, who, they've shown, pretty much everything for the last 3 weeks that they could handle this level. And they have great stuff, and the grad guys are nice to come in because they have a plan. They've been doing it for 4 years, 5 years now. So they know what they're doing, and they've shown that they could succeed at this level. The list goes on and on. We have,
I know
every
you
guy that
guys want
we've
to list every single player on the
every,
team.
I mean, me and Drew were talking about it the other day. Like, every guy that we are like excited to see throw, and like we've listed off like every pitcher. It was like, oh, we can't wait to see this guy throw against this, whatever. And then it's like, we just listed all of our pitchers. Like, we're just excited to see everybody throw. I mean, we have a really good group. We have, Jack O'Connor and Bradley Hodges, on the road to recovery, and they've, they haven't missed a step in their recovery, and they go about it the right way because, they want to be back for the season. And hopefully we get them back because that'll just be, two weapons and, in the staff arsenal to have. So, we're really excited about the pitching staff this year and just the team as a whole. So.
One guy I want to ask about that, Coach went out of the way to talk about is Chris Arroyo. He's a guy that can do a little bit of both. Travis, you're smiling. Just kind of what has stood out about him as a player so far?
I can speak a little more on the position player side. I'll
Yeah.
let Joe handle him as a pitcher.
You got to have two
But
analysts for this guy.
he's a special player. He has a smile on his face a bunch, which I love. Like, he just seems like he's happy to be playing baseball, which is not necessarily speaking on his talent, but with the bat, I mean, he can make some pretty loud noises with the bat. And when it's going right, man, there's not a lot of people I've seen hit balls harder than, what he does. And playing first base, like, he seems comfortable around the bag, can handle the position pretty well. So I mean, I've been, blown away with what he's got going on, and he's a special guy, and I think a special player as well.
Now, as a pitcher, Joe.
I mean, I'll even kind of go back to the hitting side. When I'm just watching, his BP, I mean, it just looks natural. Like, his swing path, just everything looks really easy. And then I think that kind of translates to the mound. Like, he's kind of a lower three quarter, maybe even classify him as sidearm kind of guy with some velo from down there. And his bullpen's, his fastball command has been outstanding. He's really showed us that he feels comfortable putting the fastball pretty much wherever he wants. I think that's a guy where, it's going to be kind of tough, I think, because, if he could do what we think he's going to do with the bat, finding ways to put him in, on the mound, because he's shown, pretty good stuff on the mound in terms of, bullpens and live outings. So, like I said, like Travis said, I mean, I think he's a special player, and I think he's going to have, a lot of success this year, and he's going to be a big part of this team. So,
looking at just kind of walking and seeing you guys take the field for that first fall practice, this is a big team. There's some big guys on this team. I think there are five players or position players that are 6'4 or taller. Obviously, Henry Ford, he's a mountain of a man. You've got Aiden Harris, a freshman coming in now, Trey Wells as a catcher, Harrison Didwick, Antonio Parada. You both are big guys yourself. Is it crazy kind of walking amongst these guys now and seeing kind of where they are physically?
It is. It's funny that you asked this because last night I was typing in like the orange and blue, the new series we have coming up. I was typing in the roster and I was doing the heights and I'm keep typing in 6-something, 6-something, 6-5, 6-5. I'm like, man, we got a big team. Like, and then I was thinking about it, like when I'm walking around the field, like everyone's eye level with me. And I mean, I'm 6'4", so usually there are people that are shorter than me all around. And some of these guys are making me feel small on a regular basis. You know, we don't have any Jake Berrys this year where they're not, we don't have any 6'10" guys on the team, but as a group, it's a large group of human beings.
Yeah.
Joe.
Yeah, from a pitching standpoint, like Travis said, like we're both 6'4", so like, being a tall person in a group has kind of been a norm for us. And, you know, I'll just like look around or I'm talking to somebody and they'll walk away. I'm like, damn, that guy is, he's pretty tall. Like Eric Becker is like a sneaky 6'3". And, you know, I think that's just kind of an attest to, you know, our strength coach of getting guys a little bit more physical. And then we just have a big, big group of dudes in general. Like, you know, Ryan Osinski is 6'6", Charlie Schell's 6'5". You know, like I was saying before, if the list can go on and on, just talking about those guys have been great. But yeah, like you said, man, it's a physical team this year. So,
well, when you're out in Omaha, I'm sure you get a good look at some of the other teams that are out there, and especially, you know, we talk about some of these SEC teams that have done well out there. They've been some big teams as well. Is that kind of what y'all have seen the past couple of years?
I think so. I mean, I want to say like size really doesn't necessarily matter to me. If a kid can hit pretty well or throw it pretty well, that's what I kind of see. I don't necessarily think that size really dictates whether a kid can play baseball. But I do think that it helps. I mean, I think being 6'4 and 230 can definitely help, you know, hit the ball out of the park or throw, you know, 95 miles an hour. But yeah, no, I mean, I think from a size standpoint, I think we kind of match up with any team in the country. So
looking at, you mentioned already some of the freshmen that are coming in, William Kirk, Thomas Valinkas. Am I saying that right? That's Valinkas?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You got those two guys. Two other ones, I get either a couple of freshmen coming in, but another one is Aiden Harris, a bigger freshman, also from the Richmond area, Travis, and then James Nunnally. What have you seen from those two guys early on?
I mean, Aiden Harris, you know, I'd said Chris Arroyo maybe hits the ball about as hard as anyone I've ever seen. Aiden Harris does hit the ball as hard as anyone I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he is unbelievable with how hard he can hit the ball, even when it looks like he maybe mishits the ball. Like, yeah, it's really crazy to see him swing the bat and, you know, how hard he can have the ball come off the bat. There's definitely some, you know, some areas that he has seen he can improve on so far, which is awesome. And I think is going to be great for his long-term development. And then Nunnally has been, you know, he's a freak athlete. The way he moves in the box, you can tell like, okay, he's a really twitchy guy. Like I think he has a pretty good plan for how to develop himself. And then I think along with our coaching staff, specifically Coach Mac, like offensively, I think he's just going to continue to get better and better. And then in the outfield, he can definitely go get the ball a little bit. And I mean, I think those two have a very, very bright future in baseball for sure.
Yeah, it's rare to think. I think Brian O'Connor mentioned it in one interview that he kind of compared not only to that Kyle Teal-like athleticism. Speaking of another guy that has last name Teal, and this is the one last one I want to get to. We haven't talked about him is Aiden Teal. He's going to play a lot more in the outfield this year. Travis, last time have you seen him play baseball?
So I saw him the back half of 23. He was running around the outfield, and I remember being like, holy crap, man, like he can go get it, like he can go track down a fly ball. And I saw him swinging in the cages a little bit when it was kind of the back half of his rehab situation, his first year. But I mean, he's a grinder in every sense of the word. He's again, like the last name is the last name. It's the same thing KT did. Like those dudes don't have an off button. Like they just go, 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 go. And there's a reason KT is as good as KT is, and there's a reason AT is as good as AT is. Like those guys don't stop, and they're, you know, aggressive towards pursuing their goals. And it's really special to see.
Joe, you're giving up a pitcher there because obviously Coach O'Connor said he's going to mainly play in the outfield this year. Just what did you see from him last year? And kind of, I mean, three home as few at bats as he had last year, he had three home runs and 10 at bats.
I mean, we called him Barry Bonds last year. He had three home runs, and or he had four hits, and three of them were home runs. But he, I mean, he's a special dude. Like he was my locker buddy. He'll forever be one of my lifelong friends. But yeah, we are definitely. I don't want to say it's a bittersweet kind of feeling, because what he can do at the bat, you know, at the plate, and what he can do in center field. But we do have to, unfortunately, you know, sacrifice some time on the mound because of that. You know, last year he's a special arm. I mean, he's 92, 95, and has a pretty good feel for his slider and changeup. And I thought that, you know, being last year being his first year playing college baseball, you know, that he did a really, really good job of handling it. And you know, like I said, it's unfortunate that we have to give him up on the mound, but you know, what we have planned for him in center field and what he could do at the plate, we're really excited about. So
All right, I'm gonna wrap it up there. Y'all are both working men now. You got jobs to do. But want to thank you both for coming on the Who's On podcast, and good luck this year, guys. You got the rest of fall ball, a lot of scrimmages coming up, and then we'll see you in the spring.
awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, that is it for the Who's On podcast. We'll be back with you next week, early next week, and we're gonna have a good interview there. We've got Isaiah Wilkins, one of the assistant men's basketball coaches. So join us then. We'll see you next week on the Who's On podcast.